You're listening to Health First, heard across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We're talking with Diana Steele. She's a registered dietitian and the owner of Eating for Energy. Tell us a little bit about your consulting company and what you do, Diana.
Yeah, we see individuals for one-on-one nutrition counseling to help them improve their eating habits. So whether it was to help lower your cholesterol or for weight loss, or if you're a top-level athlete competing in Ironman, we would help you figure out what you need to be doing. And then we also do regular media and speaking engagements. So we'll go to your business and speak to your staff about healthy eating, and you can choose a topic that you like.
How much interest is there in, you know, wanting to eat better?
Well, in Vancouver, I think everybody has a pretty big interest. I think it's something that people are gaining a lot more knowledge on as well. And so you can become more of your own advocate and make your own health choices because people are learning so much more about what they need to eat.
What are some of the key things that people really do need to eat on a daily basis?
The number one food group that most people don't get enough of is fruits and vegetables. And so looking at aiming for 7 to 10 servings per day, where a serving is half a cup, I mean, you can count your servings in your head of what you ate yesterday. Most people will only get 3, maybe 4 servings. So that's the one food group I'm always pushing. You know, make yourself a smoothie with frozen berries and a banana and some almond fresh unsweetened almond milk and blend it up, and you've got your perfect snack or breakfast. Having some steamed vegetables with dinner and a salad, stuffing your sandwich full of carrots and sprouts and cucumbers can also be a really great way of getting more vegetables.
You know, are there people that go the other extreme and eat too many vegetables? Have you seen that?
Well, it's pretty hard to eat too many if you're eating a well-balanced diet. I think the challenge would be if you are starting to fill up on all those vegetables and you're consuming, you know, 20 servings in a day, you might be pushing out room for some of the other nutrients. And we do need to have balance. You do need to get your protein foods. You'd want to make sure you're getting your omega-3 fats from fish and nuts and seeds. And you want to make sure that you're getting some good carbohydrates, not just eating the green vegetables, which are very low in carbs. So I think balance is really important. We need calcium, we need vitamin D, we need our iron.
Let's talk about vitamin D, because we're coming into the winter and you know, a lot of Canadians, as you know, are deficient in vitamin D. What are some of the things that we can do to really improve our vitamin D, and what are some of the signs that we are perhaps deficient?
The number one way of figuring out your vitamin D status is to get a blood test, and you have to do that through your doctor. And the link around low vitamin D and or vitamin D deficiency and heart disease and diabetes is there. So we know that those that are very low in vitamin D have an increased risk for heart disease and diabetes, and it's more prevalent the farther north you are. So really looking at your food sources for vitamin D, and then also considering a supplement throughout the winter from October to April is what I recommend. And your goal is between 600 international units, that's for all Canadians, and then up to 800 to 1,000 international units for older adults over the age of 70. The best food sources would be beverages like milk, which has vitamin D added to it. So then also products that are made with milk. So your yogurt, if it's made with skim milk, for example, it will have vitamin D in it. Also the fortified beverages. So your fortified almond fresh, for example, it has vitamin D added to it. So that's an almond milk, or a fortified soy milk would have vitamin D added to it. Some mushrooms even have vitamin D when they're grown in a bright light. There are eggs that are available in the grocery store that are a source of vitamin D. And one of the best sources is fatty fish. So salmon, a serving of 3 to 4 ounces of salmon can give you all the vitamin D you would need in your day. So then again, canned salmon would be a good source of vitamin D as well. But supplements are very inexpensive. And if you're already taking a calcium supplement, you could always get a calcium supplement that has vitamin D in it, so you're not doubling up. Or if you're taking a fish oil supplement, they often will come with vitamin D in them. So again, I'm always thinking, try to reduce the number of things you have to take. So if you can get them all in one, that's great.
You know, I want to ask you about, you know, I want to go back to the sugar a little bit and ask you about, in terms of people trying to improve their drinking habits, their eating habits, Are there any foods that we should be avoiding? You know, we talked a fair bit about beverages. What about foods?
Well, I think it comes down to those things that have sugar as the first ingredient. And it's interesting, you know, you think sometimes you're doing a good job by having one of these energy bars, but when it's glucose, fructose as the first ingredient, you don't need to be having that kind of a food as a snack. You should really find an energy bar, a granola bar that has a whole food as the first ingredient. So that would be like whole oats or something like that. Getting rid of the sports drinks too. When you're not exercising, you don't need to be sitting around drinking pure sugar. There's no need for that. Nor do your children need it during a one-hour soccer game. So again, I'm coming back to those beverages, but they are the number one source. And then candies, you know, if you have a bag of jelly beans beside your desk because you're constantly craving sugar, you know, that's just causing your blood sugars to rise and fall constantly throughout the day. You need more long-lasting energy. So pure sugars and jams and honeys, really reducing the amount that you're using. But also look at how you're preparing your food. You know, a lot of recipes like muffins and things like that, you can actually cut a third of the sugar that's in the recipe and have a normal product, or use a substitute like applesauce in your recipe, and that can add some sweetness, but from a natural source with some soluble fiber, which is good for your heart. So there are other things. Reading those food labels too and checking the grams of sugar, even your breakfast cereal, there should be no more than about 6 grams of sugar per 30-gram serving on your cereal box. So have a look at the nutrition facts table, find where sugar is, and see how many grams of sugar there are. Right now, it doesn't say what percentage daily value that gram is on our Canadian labels. They're hopefully going to create our limit, and then we'll have a percent daily value. So right now, that's just a blank area on the food label. So you just have to count your grams of sugar and try and keep them below 50 or 75 in your overall day.
Diana, in terms of weight gain and sugar, is there a significant relationship to that between them?
Yes, and they believe from the research that sugar-sweetened beverages are, in fact, the number one leading factor associated with obesity. When people drink a beverage that has calories, they don't compensate by eating less food. And so you can easily go and have a liter of pop and still consume your regular meal. Whereas if you went and had the same calories from, a bowl of fruit salad, you would be full and satisfied. So it's really about reducing those things that are giving you sugar and energy without any fiber and without any protein or fat. So there's no satiety.
Lucy, have you've been working with people, you know, as a dietitian for a number of years. Do you have any success stories that you can talk about?
Well, not individuals, but yes, absolutely. Over time, I have had all kinds of clients that, you know, whether it's improving a time on their first marathon to their fifth marathon, or for weight management, you know, in a year having lost, you know, some of my clients 40 pounds in a year. I have long-term clients that I'm still seeing for, you know, their fifth year, and they're still on track and still making losses and you know, the long-term habits, I think, that are instilled by having a look at your diet and saying, okay, these are the few most important things I need to change. And one of them could be, you know, too much sugar in their diet. One of them could be not enough vegetables. One of them could be not eating enough during the day and then overeating at the end of the day. And so we've created some new habits where they're eating breakfast, they're having snacks, they're eating a lot more vegetables and fruit. They're having more meals made at home and cooking from scratch. And they've become habits that they do every day now. So it's not about falling on and off a plan and yo-yo dieting. It's about changing your lifestyle so that it's a permanent change and you continue to see the success.
Diana, you know, one of the things we've had somebody call into the station and just ask about fruit drinks. Are they healthy? You know, fruit juices.
Yeah, so 100% pure fruit juice is still an acceptable beverage. For children, no more than half a cup a day, and for teens, no more than a cup a day is what's recommended, and I would carry that on to adults as well. I don't recommend juicing. I think that if you are doing that often, think about maybe using a blender instead, because you can keep that fiber in there when you're making your own beverages. But if you are drinking a juice, it should be 100% pure fruit juice. is not a fruit beverage or a fruit cocktail. So you'll have to read your label and make sure that the only ingredient in there is juice and not, cane syrup and that kind of thing.
Dinah, we're almost out of time. Do you want to sum up what we've been talking about and give people a contact if they want more information?
Sure. I think that the number one thing is to have a look at where your sugar seems to be sneaking in and see if you can adapt your taste buds to eating a little bit less sugar. It's only going to have a positive effect on your overall health. And you can follow me at Eating for Energy on Twitter. And I also have a website, eatingforenergy.com.
Dinah Steele, thanks for coming on the show. It's been great having you.
Thank you very much for having me. Have a great day.
That's it for this week's show. I want to thank Garrett Perry, our producer, and for producers across the country that are making the show available to you. Thank you for listening, and stop by our website at healthfirstradio.com if you want to suggest a guest for us or you want to get in contact with us.